Some nights just never seem to go away, no matter how much you tell them to leave. It's like they stamp themselves into your memory. People notice the burns but never know the pain as if it were their own. I doubt anyone can relate to the night my truck gave out on the side of that freeway. I was 20 at the time, broke like any other kid my age, driving a vehicle that coughed more than it purred or impressed the girls. I couldn't even estimate how much gas was in the tank after the gauge went out on me, so I reset my trip odometer every time I filled up. It was sketchy to say the least, but the method worked well enough to get me from point A to point B, at least until tonight. I had just visited my friend in San Antonio, and I was cruising down Route 90 with just the hum of tires traversing the asphalt in the background. Occasionally, I saw a jackrabbit dart in whichever direction. It was close to midnight now. The road was so empty, it felt like I was the only one in the state still awake, trying to get somewhere. That's when my engine sputtered. Oh no, not now. I gripped the wheel, praying to prevent the inevitable disaster ahead of me. Come on, you old truck, not now. I tapped on gas. Nothing but the truck stuttered, lurching forward in a last desperate attempt, before completely dying on me. The headlights decided they wanted to quit on me too, leaving with nothing but a pocket of darkness and endless trees for a background. Then I tried my next logical course of action, my phone. I grabbed it in hopes that it still had no bars. Great. Well, throw on the hazards. There they went. The click noise signaling my emergency was the only noise interrupting the night's eerie calm. Someone's gotta pass soon, I told myself. I started to doze off by the time the headlights appeared in the mirror. I looked at my phone and an hour had passed. I was relieved, that is, until the car didn't keep its beams on. It pulled up behind me, lights off, and slowly came to a halt on the shoulder. The engine shut off moments later, then silence. I stared in my rearview mirror to see who it was, but nothing moved. That's not good. I assumed any second now that the door would open, a voice would call out, or some sort of movement. Nothing. Just a black truck sitting too close for comfort and an occupant who had yet to reveal themselves. After waiting for 10 seconds, curiosity got the best of me. That, and the desperation of the situation. I stepped into the cold, yelling out, "Hey!" I could hear my voice carry in the distance. No response. I got closer. I was committed by now. The truck grew larger as I approached, but I still couldn't get a picture of the figure inside. The voice would call out, or some sort of movement. Nothing. Maybe I should have just stayed inside. Finally, the door creaked. A tall, broad-shouldered man emerged slowly from the vehicle, stepping outside without a sound. From the glow of my hazards, I could see his wide grin. He finally asked, "You all right, buddy?" "Ran out of gas," I responded nervously. "That's a shame." His smile started to send alarm signals shooting. "Give me a hand with something, would you?" The request wouldn't be a problem under normal circumstances, but considering my truck no longer worked, my phone had no service in the middle of the night, with a mysterious man who's now asking for help. Calm, yet some sort of ferocity tempered underneath the surface. I hesitated. "I don't think I can." The man chuckled softly, as if my response wasn't a genuine answer. He tilted his head, then demanded suddenly, "Empty your pockets then." "What?" I knew something was wrong, but what were my options? There was no one around, and I didn't know whether this man had a knife or a gun in his pockets. I didn't have any weapons, and at this point, I'm considering going back to my car and locking it. My chest is clenching at this point. "Empty your pockets," he repeated again, only this time a smile widened. He got closer. This was all spiraling too fast for me to process. The trees were too still, the night too quiet, and that grin, that stupid, terrifying grin. This could escalate in moments, and then it did. The man lunged at me, his smile dropping pretentiously. He made an attempt to grab me as his voice dropped to a rumble. "Don't make me hurt you." I didn't take any chances to find out what the man wanted. Adrenaline kicked, and I did the only thing I could do to survive. Escape. I darted from the asphalt into the trees. My sneakers seemed to cut off my circulation. I collided with branches but pressed on through the pain, running and zigzagging blindly. Heavy footsteps could be heard not far behind. And then I heard it. "I'll kill you," the man roared in the background, not far from. He was traversing through the trees at a faster rate than I was. I started to gain some distance, thankfully. The man clearly wasn't in as great a shape as I was, which might have been the only thing keeping me alive through the night. I made the split-second decision to hide behind a tree, crouch low, and force my breathing to be shallow and quiet. Every nerve in my body screamed to keep running, but I didn't. I waited, frozen, heart hammering in my chest. His footsteps continued to draw closer. He was within 20 feet now. The leaves crunched nearby. "I'll find you, kid," he yelled aloud. "Don't think that I won't." There was silence after that. It was minutes of this, then minutes turned into hours. I didn't move. My legs were cramping. My teeth chattered. But I wasn't about to lose my cover to discomfort. I would wait for dawn. And like that, the pale light appeared again. I gave it another 20 minutes before I decided to head back to the road. There was my truck. This time, the door was ajar. My glove box was open. The man's truck was gone, though. I sat in my car, breathing shallowly as I tried to recover my whereabouts. That's when I saw it. On the dash was a crumpled receipt from my glove box that had been smoothed flat to write a message. In a jagged handwriting style, it read, "Don't run next time, Jason." I used to think of myself as pretty independent, like I really didn't need anyone's help, and that I could handle myself. I learned that's a dangerous attitude to have on one fateful night. I was 19 at the time, and school just got out for winter break. To dodge the traffic, I typically drove late, and it was close to midnight when I left the campus. Nothing much to see on the highway, a few red taillights disappearing into the distance. Nothing much but my thoughts, and I like it that way. Just the windows cracked, the cold December air keeping me awake, and music low to set the mood. And then, about an hour in, I see that the gas light came on. I normally didn't care if the light came on because I wasn't going far, only this time I had to make it back home from school, and the needle sank faster than expected. I couldn't believe it. The engine coughed one more time, then it died. I pulled my car over to the shoulder. My headlight shone against the endless tree line in front of me. I grabbed my phone as anyone would in the situation, only I had no bars. "Come on, come on." I raised my phone to the windshield. Still no bars. How about outside? It was freezing. But I reached for the sky, and still nothing. Well, I don't have a choice. I can try to walk to the nearest convenience store, but it looks like it's a mile out. I'm not risking it in this weather. Maybe I'll just turn my hazards on and fog up the cabin of the car in the meantime. Someone's got to pass soon. Lo and behold, 40 minutes before someone finally showed, the headlights were what woke me from my stupor. At first I was excited. A dark sedan pulled up right behind, its tires crunching the gravel. And then my chest knotted as the driver opened the door. It was a man, middle-aged, with thin hair and glasses. He casually waved in my direction like he was trying too hard to play it cool. He called out, "You alright?" By now he was approaching my car. I barely peeled the window down, just enough to say, "I ran out of gas." His smile told me something was off. "Sorry to hear that. Gas station's about 10 minutes from here. Hop in. I'll give you a ride." "What do? I need a ride, but not from this guy." "Well, I didn't have any signal. It's the middle of the night, and it's below freezing. Do I really have a choice?" I decided to lock my car and follow him as he guided me to his vehicle. It smelled like mildew in his car. Gross. There was a child's car seat in the back. What the? It was filthy, with the strap frayed and sticky, along with something dry. There was a stuffed bear in the back seat, lying upside down with one eye missing. "Sorry about the mess," he responded hastily. I couldn't say much. I just nodded, buckled my seatbelt, and prayed to God that he drove to where he said we were going. We pull back onto the road as his headlights pass through the trees, providing silhouettes in the background. The man tried to engage in small talk, asking where I was from, what school I attended, and what I was majoring in. He kept asking question after question, but the silence made him uneasy. That's when I heard something I can't unhear to this day. It was a faint thump from behind us. It was the asphalt, right? The pothole. But I looked quickly and found no potholes that could have made a sound like that. The man suddenly elevated his voice when the sound went off, talking in tangents as though trying to distract me from what I just heard. And there it was again, another thump. Only this time it was louder. What was that? It sounded like a muffled cry. I could feel the knots in my stomach. I looked at him as if he would somehow reveal my suspicions. His knuckles seemed to tighten on the steering wheel, and his jaw clenched, even as he maintained a smile. It's like he was hoping I didn't notice. There it was again. It wasn't a bump. It wasn't the road. It was a voice. A high-pitched, desperate voice, screaming from the trunk. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I froze. I panicked. This man could be a psychopath, and I'm in a moving vehicle with him. I had no other option but to pretend like my suspicions weren't glaringly obvious. The man didn't seem to notice, but said in a strangely cheerful tone, "Almost there. Should be a couple minutes." I slowly moved my hand toward the seatbelt latch, using my peripherals more than anything else to watch if this man made any sudden movement. I was afraid he could hear my heartbeat by now. The vehicle began to slow down, and the road widened as we approached a small intersection, the red light stopping our progress. The car reached a halt for the first time, and I knew this may be my only opportunity. All I can think is instincts in that moment. I didn't have a plan. I didn't know what would happen next. But I yanked the buckle free, shoving the door open, and bolting into the below-freezing night. The man lunged across his seat, as if he too instinctively knew what I would do. His fingers grasped my sleeve, but I pulled away in time to escape into the night. The cold air penetrated my lungs, and I struggled to breathe, sprinting away from the dark sedan. I was stunned to see the headlights of an oncoming truck blaring its horn at me. That didn't stop me as I saw a gas station ahead. I couldn't be more ecstatic to see the neon buzzing over the windows, knowing somebody in there had a phone. I crashed through the doors and immediately shouted in the store, "Call the police." The clerk at the front froze for a moment before reaching to grab the phone. The officers arrived on the scene shortly after. But it was too late. The sedan was already gone. He took my statement, including every shaky detail I could muster amid my flustered state. They put out an alert to apprehend the vehicle matching my description. They found the sedan hours later, abandoned behind an abandoned warehouse just two towns over. Trunk? Empty. There were no signs that anyone had been inside. No damage of any sort. No blood. As if it never happened. One officer tried to conclude that maybe the noises were stress-induced, and that my mind assumed the bumps in the road were something worse. I really wanted to believe it. I did. I tried to shake it off as best as I could. But then a week later, I got a text. My phone buzzed in response to a message from an unknown number. All it read was, "You shouldn't have left." It was a few months into my gap year, and I was on the way to a friend's house to crash for a few days. The plan was to rest, then take the coast all the way from coast to coast. It was nearing nightfall, and I was driving down a long open road. I hadn't seen any houses or gas stations for nearly an hour when I noticed my gas was nearing empty. I was sure that I had just filled it up at the last station, only 50 miles before. But before long, my engine started to go out, and I came rolling to a stop on the side of the road. When I got out of the car, I noticed that something had been spilling under my car the entire way. It was a long line of what smelled like gas. It must have been a leak. There was no reception that far out, so I sat on my hood and waited for someone to come by. It didn't take long before a beat-up Ford truck pulled up behind me. After a moment, I realized it looked familiar. The truck had been at the same pump as me when I got out to get some water. The window rolled down, and there was an older man with a weird, leathery face. He smiled at me and asked if I needed any help. It was pretty unsettling. but I didn't have any other choice, so I thanked him and got in. His car smelled like cigarettes and moldy breath. The man said he would take me to the nearest gas station to get a gas can and bring it back to my car. He kept looking over at me the entire ride, sneaking glances at my legs, so I pretended to be asleep while keeping my eyes slightly open. A guy must have bought it, because when we got to the nearest station, he blew right past it. I started to panic a bit. I thought about confronting him, but I knew he was too big to fight. Luckily, we were coming up on a rest stop about a half a mile away. I opened my eyes and told him I had to pee. He said that he'd stop at the next place, so I crossed my legs, winced, and told him it was too late. I'd have to pull over or I'd make a mess of his car. The man frowned and sighed, but he gave in and pulled over. The second we came to a stop, I sprinted out of the car and into the woods off the side of the road. He shouted after me, but I couldn't hear him. The bushes were scratching at my legs, but I didn't stop running. The rest stop was close enough that I could see the lights. My phone had died by that point. I wiped away the tears and gasped for breath as I made it to the rest stop parking lot. The lot was completely empty, other than one nice sedan. There was light coming from inside the sedan. I figured it was a phone, so I ran and banged on the window. The guy from earlier was nowhere to be seen. I think he gave up once it got too risky for him. The phone light shut off, and the person inside rolled down the window. It was another man, but he was a lot cleaner than the last guy. When he saw the state I was in, he got out of the car and asked what was wrong. I stumbled over my words, trying to tell him about what happened, and asked him if I could use his phone to call for help. He told me I could, and that he'd get some water and a blanket from the back of the car so I could calm down. While I stood against the door and shivered, he stepped out of sight and opened the trunk. While waiting, I glanced into his car. There were a pair of binoculars on the passenger seat. I turned to where the man had disappeared and found him pulling rope out of the trunk. I stumbled into the side mirror, and he realized I'd seen him. Even though I was exhausted, I managed to use the last of my energy to sprint to the rest stop. His footsteps trailed behind until I caught the eye of the woman at the desk. The guy chased me, ran back to his car, and drove off while I watched him from inside the lobby. The woman at the lobby stayed with me while I tried to pull it together. After everything that night, I could barely even trust her. The lady gave me a free room for the night. I managed to get in touch with my friend, and she came to pick me up the next day. When we got my car towed, it turned out my fuel lines had been cut. I guess the guy who followed me from the gas station had the whole thing planned. The fact that I ran into a second psycho must have just been insanely bad luck. I canceled my gap year because of all that. The long hours of driving put a pit in my stomach that took all the fun away. I ended up going back to live with my parents that year. The whole thing made me feel a bit worse about the world. I can't believe enough people like that exist that I could run into two of them in one night.